We're going to talk about the blood of Jesus today. Praise God. So let's pray as we get into the Word. Father, thank you for your Word this morning. And again, I thank you for every person here and every person that will be listening to this via our podcast later, because we will be able to do that. And so, Father, I thank you and praise you right now in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit speaks to each of our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me to say what you want me to say this morning. I yield my tongue to you, Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would speak through me to every heart and every life. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give illumination and understanding and revelation to every heart today, that our hearts would be opened, the eyes of our understanding would be opened, the ears of our spirit would be opened to hear in a way we've never heard it before, Lord, that it would become alive on the inside of us, your precious, wonderful truth of redemption, of what you've done for us through Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to start in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, y'all whooping and hollering like I'm going to talk about the end times. So, woo, Revelation, woo, wee, woo. Well, hallelujah. It's not going to be about the end times, but the book of Revelation is not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's not the revelation of even the end times. If you read the first couple of words of the book of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is a revelation of our Savior. And I love this. This is what our Savior, you know, certainly there's revelation about the end times, the last days, the end, all that's in there. But it's if you focus on that and don't focus on who this thing's about, you're going to miss it. Amen. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Revelation 1:5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and ruler over the kings of the earth. Look at this next part now. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the one who loved us and who washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6 says, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the power of Jesus' blood, when we believe it, when we apply it to our lives, it doesn't just forgive us, but it washes us. And more than that, being washed in his blood, it says we're now made kings. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus applied to our lives makes us kings and also priests to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then we skip down to the 5th chapter in Revelation. Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah. You were slain. That song is a song of praise to Jesus Christ. And they're saying, those the saints that are gathered around, John is having a glimpse into heaven, and he sees multitudes of people, multitudes of redeemed ones, multitudes of people that Jesus has saved by his blood, and they're singing this new song, you're worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and you've redeemed us to God by your blood. Hallelujah. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Amen. Here we see a revelation also of the true equality of all human beings. Amen. Amen. So what determines, let's think about that for a minute. What determines value? What determines the value of a thing? I saw something, I guess it was on Facebook the other day, where this guy had an old car, and he told he was going to give it to his daughter, and he told his daughter to take the car down to a car lot and see what they would give her for the car. And they said they'd give her $1,000 for it. And then he said, okay, take it to a pawn shop and see what they would do for you. Took it to the pawn shop, and they said, well, we'll give you $100 for it. He says, I want you to take it to this guy that deals in antique cars and let him see this car and let him see what he'll give you for it. And he looked over the car. See, those others were not trained eyes. Those other places weren't trained, and they just saw an old beat-up car that was 30 years old. And he said, wait a minute. When it got to the antique car dealer, he says, wait a minute, you're kidding me. And he looked it over, and he says, wait, this is not one. Yes, it is one. And it was a particular car. He said, this car is worth $100,000. $100,000. See, what is something worth? It's worth what someone is willing to pay for it. Amen. And you got to make sure you get to the right person who really understands the value. Amen. So think about that in terms of this. You've redeemed us to God. Now the word redeem means bought back. It means bought back, purchased. Jesus, it talks about He purchased us with His blood. Jesus purchased us with His blood. In fact, we could say it this way. God the Father purchased us with the blood of His Son. So that shows you how much you're worth. Amen. That shows you what your value is. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. The price that someone is willing to pay determines the value. And the price that was paid for you and for me was the blood of Jesus Christ. And notice, it says He paid that same price for people out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. What does that mean? It means that every human being, no matter your background, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your skin color, no matter whatever, every human being is equal in value to God. Every human being has equal, we could say it this way, every human being has equal and infinite value to God. Every human being has equal and infinite value to God. Praise God. So he's redeemed us to God by His blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And the next verse says, again, similar to what we read in Revelation 1, and you've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Look at what the blood of Jesus, what caused that? What positioned any human being to do that? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to talk more about that in a moment here, but let's go to one more scripture in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Peter says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, here Peter is emphasizing the fact of the value that God placed on us. He said, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold. There's no amount of silver and there's no amount of gold in the money in the world. No amount of silver, no amount of gold in the world that could pay to buy you back, that could pay to redeem you, but only the blood of Jesus Christ. And because God loved you and me so much, He was willing to pay it. Amen. Amen. You see, there's a story is told. This is years ago. This couldn't happen today with the kind of toy stores that we have. But years ago, there was a little boy who his dad taught him how to carve with a knife. And this little boy carved out and made for himself a little toy boat. He carved it. He painted it, and he even put a sail on it. And he took that little toy boat after there'd been a heavy rain like we had around here, And, you know, just through the little ditch in his yard, there was a current of water flowing. So he thought, I'm going to sail my little boat today. So he put the little boat out in that current of water. And to his surprise, it was stronger and swifter than what he thought. And the little boat sailed away, got out of his reach. And he could see it, but it's sailing down through this, through this current, this ditch. And pretty soon it joins up with the creek. And the creek is overflowing because of all the rain, but it moves into that creek and he can still see it. But my goodness, the little boat's gone. It's sailing away and he's heartbroken. Sailing away and he thinks he's never going to see that little boat again. It's gone forever. Well, a couple of weeks later, he goes to the town nearby where they lived. And again, remember, this is years ago. And so he looks in the window of a toy store and he says, could that be? It looks just like his little boat. And he looked in there, so he rushes into the toy store and talks to the clerk at the toy store and he says, sir, that's my boat. I can't believe it. That's my boat. And the store owner's skeptical about it. And he says, sure, kid. Yeah. If you want this boat, you're going to have to pay for it. And he showed him the price and he says, okay, I don't have it now, but I'll get it and I'll come back and I don't sell it to anybody else. I'll come back and I want that boat. I've got to have that boat. And even though it was his own boat that he had created with his own hands, because he loved it so much, he was willing to get whatever money he needed together and go back and buy that boat. See, that's exactly what God did for us in Jesus. Even though He created us, even though He made us, we got caught up in the current of sin. We got caught up in the current of this world and we sailed away. But then Jesus, God sent Jesus and Jesus came and found us and He bought us back. Even though He had made us, He bought us back again. And little boy, when he got the boat, he was so happy. He was so happy to have his boat back because he loved it. He'd created it and he loved it. And just like God is so happy to get us back. Amen. He's so happy when we say yes to Jesus. He's so happy when we say yes to the price that Jesus paid for you and me. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so Peter says, you've been redeemed. You've been bought back, not by silver or by gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, see, the only thing that could redeem us was the blood of Jesus, the blood of God Himself. That was the only price that could be paid, but God was willing to pay it. He couldn't send an angel. Amen. He couldn't send anything else other than the blood of His only Son. And He did that. Praise God. So let's look at what the blood has done for us today. Let's look at the power of the blood of Jesus. Number one, the blood of Jesus has made us righteous. The blood of Jesus has made us righteous. Romans 3:21, this is in the New Living Translation. It says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. That doesn't mean we disregard them. It just means that nobody could keep them. Before that, in Romans 3, Paul writes and he says, there's none righteous. No, not one. Isn't that the truth? There's no one that can perfectly keep the law of God. Well, James says, if we stumble in one point, we're guilty of all of it. You might not have murdered, you might not have committed adultery, but if you've stumbled in one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. And there's no one that hasn't done that. We've all sinned. There's none righteous, he says. Now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God, verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People, look at this. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. Hallelujah. So our faith is in his shed blood. Our faith is in his blood. Amen? In God's Word translation, Romans 3:25, in God's Word, it says this. God showed that Christ is the throne of mercy. Hallelujah. See, God had in the Old Testament, God had the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that? And overshadowing, see, inside the Ark of the Covenant was the law, right? The tablets containing the laws. But over those tablets that contained the laws was something called the mercy seat. The mercy seat. So even under the old covenant, when God would look upon the people and see if they were keeping the law, he would look at them through mercy. And so that was a type and shadow of the reality. Here's the reality. God showed that Christ is the throne of mercy or the mercy seat. The word in the King James and the New King James is propitiation. Don't you like this word better than propitiation? It's like, you know, it flies right over our head. Does only Bill O'Reilly would understand what. Remember, Bill O'Reilly used to have the word of the day is propitiation. You know, try to educate us all a little bit. Try to get us to lift our vocabulary, but. Anyway, I like this. God showed that Christ is the throne of mercy, where God's approval is given through faith in Christ's blood. God's approval, that means us being made right, having right standing or righteousness, that approval in our lives is given through our faith in Christ's blood. Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So our faith is in his blood. Amen. So the blood has made us righteous. Glory to God. We can stand before God righteous, not because we did everything just right, but because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Remember that song? Hallelujah. Well, it's true. Amen. Glory to God. And then number two, point number two is this. Since we are righteous, we can reign. Since we are righteous, we can reign. Remember the verses we read in Revelation? He's washed us. He's redeemed us to God by his blood and made us kings. And priest, and we shall reign on the earth. Remember? Remember what we read there? Amen. And in Revelation 1:6, remember he said he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he's made us kings and priests. So since we're righteous, we can reign. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. Ooh. Hallelujah. We can boldly reign. Doesn't mean we reign over one another, but it does mean we reign over the devil. Amen. It does mean we reign over circumstances. Amen. It does mean we reign, amen, over sickness and disease and lack and fear and everything that Satan would try to bring into our lives. We can reign over it. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. There's a fountain full of grace. We sang earlier, it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came and healed me, came and refreshed me, came and washed my sin away. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Have you received the abundance of God's grace? Wave at me if you have. Have you received it? The abundance of God's grace? Have you received the gift of righteousness? Wave at me if you have. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says if you have, then you'll reign in life. See, righteousness is a gift. Righteousness is not something that you earn, not something you attain to. It's a gift that you receive and walk in. Amen? Hallelujah. So since we're righteous, we can reign. God's Word translation says it is certain that death ruled because of one person's failure. It's even more certain that those who receive God's overflowing kindness and the gift of His approval will rule in life. Rule in life. See, God created us. God redeemed us to rule in life. Amen. For so many people, even Christians, life is raining on you. But you should be reigning in life. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. The gift of His approval will rule in life because of one person, Jesus Christ. Praise God. The third thing about the blood that the blood does for us is this. The blood silences Satan's accusations against us. The blood silences Satan's accusations against us. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. We'll go to chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now,'" well, it says it was a loud voice, so I should read it loud, right? "Now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night has been cast down." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. What do we overcome? We overcome Satan's accusations. We overcome. He says he's the, in fact, the name Satan means accuser. Did you know that? The name Satan means accuser. Satan is the accuser. Satan wants to accuse you, tell you you're no good, tell you God doesn't love you, tell you you've messed up, tell you you've gone too far, you've blown it too bad. He's the accuser. He's the accuser. Not God, but the devil is the accuser. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. See, this is a scene in the courtroom of heaven. That's what we're actually getting a glimpse to. And Satan is the prosecuting attorney. In fact, there's another scene like that played out in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. We won't go there this morning, but it's a scripture that's especially dear to me. It's one that God led me to and spoke to my heart some time ago. Zechariah has the veil pulled back, the curtain pulled back, and he can see into the realm of the Spirit. And he sees Joshua, the high priest, standing there with filthy clothes on. And he sees Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And then he hears as Satan is hurling these accusations against Joshua, the man of God, the high priest, who is clothed in filthy clothes. The filthy clothes represent, we found out later in that, represent his sin. And so he's clothed there in sin. He's feeling condemned. He's feeling guilty. And Satan is accusing him, piling that on. And then a voice speaks. It's the Lord. And the Lord says, "I reject your accusation, Satan. This man is a burning stick plucked from the fire." Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord gives a command and they take the filthy clothes off of him. And the Lord says, "See, I've removed your iniquity from you." And he gives another command and he said, "Clothe him with fine new clothing." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? That's what God does for all of us. And God said in that scene, He said, "I reject your accusations, Satan. I reject your accusations." Hallelujah. So in this courtroom scene, Satan is the prosecuting attorney. He's the accuser. And there's evidence in this court. Just like in any court, they present evidence, don't they? Amen? I'm going to come down here today. Glory to God. Amen. Since I don't have any camera that I have to pose and look pretty for. All right. Glory to God. So there's evidence, as in any court, there's evidence. Well, the evidence that's pertinent in this court is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the evidence. That's, and that blood carries the greatest weight in this court. It is beyond reproach. Hallelujah. Amen. It meets every burden of proof because it's perfect and it's spotless. And the blood of Jesus is the evidence that acquits us. See, in a court case, there's evidence presented, and that evidence is either evidence to convict, or there's a type of evidence that they call exculpatory evidence. What does that mean? That means that evidence is presented to show, Your Honor, this the defendant is absolutely innocent, and here's our proof. Here's our proof that he's innocent. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood of Jesus is our exculpatory evidence. Satan presents his evidence. What's that? Our past sins, our past failures, our rebellion, our mistakes, our shortcomings. And he's listing them off one by one. And he's got a good record of them. He remembers all of it. But Jesus is our defense attorney in the courtroom of heaven. Did you know that? In 1 John 2:1, we read this. In 1 John 2:1, it says, My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So if we'll follow the word of God, it will keep us from sinning. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. An advocate. An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our advocate. You know, there's an organization called CASA, and that stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate. And it's a person that works within the court system that is an advocate, and that word advocate is another word for attorney. Amen. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Jesus is the one pleading our case before the Father, who is the judge. Now, that's a pretty good setup that we have right there. Our defense attorney is the son of the judge. And it's legal. Nobody has to recuse themselves. The judge doesn't have to recuse himself because the defense attorney is his son. And the defense attorney doesn't have to recuse himself because his father's the judge. It's all legal. Amen. Jesus is our defense attorney. He's pleading our case. Amen.
Amen.
And he applies the blood. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of their what?
Testimony.
Now we think of testimony. When we read that scripture, we think of testimony as I'm going to get up and give my testimony. Well, back in 1974, it all started in 1974. And I started going down the wrong road in 1974. And by 1989, this was what my life was like. And in 1992, I called on the Lord. And we call that your testimony. And thank God for that. Thank God for when you can share what God has done for you and what He's brought you out of. That's valuable, certainly.
Amen.
But that's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about your testimony as in a legal sense. You're testifying in court. Now, and you have to testify on your own behalf in this case. This is the kind of court where you must testify. You can't say, well, Your Honor, the defendant is not going to testify in this case. No, you can't rest on somebody else's testimony. You have to testify. In this case, your testimony is essential and it's necessary and it's vital. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
So your defense attorney, who's your defense attorney again?
Jesus.
Yeah, the Lord Jesus is your defense attorney. He calls you into his office and he opens up the legal book and he says, we're going to go over some things in here before you testify. Now what I want you to testify about, I want you to stick to this. I want you to say this. I want you to say what's in here. This is your testimony. Yeah, but what if the devil gets me off and tries to get me to talk about that thing? No, you just say what's in here. You stick to this. You say what my word says. This is your testimony. Hallelujah. And if you'll follow the advice of your defense attorney, And if you'll stick to this testimony, come on. If you'll stick to this testimony, glory to God, then guess what's going to happen? Jesus, when he applies his blood as the evidence, all the convicting evidence disappears. It disappears. The devil tries to play video. He's got video. He's got video of you messing up. And he says, well, Your Honor, just wait. Yeah, that all sounds good and everything, but we're going to pop this video in and we're going to show you what they've done. And he puts it up there and the screen is blank. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. Colossians 2, 13 through 15 tells us that you were dead. Your case was over, man. You were dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Verse 14. He canceled the record of the charges against us. Did you know that was in the Bible? Look at that. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Oh, that's what Jesus did. That's what his blood has accomplished. Hallelujah. Verse 15. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. That's talking about Satan and all his forces. They no longer they've been disarmed. They have no ammunition. They have nothing against you. They have nothing on you. The devil has nothing on you. Hallelujah. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah. So it's the blood of Jesus that proves our innocence. And if we will, and if our testimony will stick to what Jesus said, what God said in his word, hallelujah, we will overcome the devil. Yeah. The blood of Jesus silences every accusation of Satan, every accusation of the enemy. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, again, in this case, in the courtroom of heaven, there may be evidence, but if that evidence is not applied, it's to no avail.
Amen.
Amen. And the same is true with us, or for us. The blood of Jesus has been shed, hasn't it?
Yes.
It's available,
yes.
But it has to be applied.
Yes.
It has to be believed.
Yes.
All these things work by faith. They're activated by faith.
Yes.
The blood, if we believe in what that blood has done. Now that's literal. Jesus literally shed his blood on the cross in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It happened.
Yes.
Amen. It happened. And in the realm of the Spirit, he took that blood. I don't know where it was collected at, but somewhere it was. He took that blood and he offered it in the heavenly holy of holies.
Amen.
And that blood speaks today. The Bible says in Hebrews, it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out after Cain killed him and cried out. God could hear the blood of Abel crying out from the ground, "Avenge me, O God, avenge me." But the blood of Jesus applied to the mercy seat in heaven, applied in the altar in heaven, is speaking today and crying out today, and it's saying, "Forgive them." It's saying, "Not guilty." It's saying, "They're innocent." It's saying, "They're washed." It's saying, "They're forgiven." And not only are they washed and they're forgiven, but they're kings and they're priests and they can reign in life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So we need to, one thing I've learned to do is to apply that blood. And to do it on a consistent basis. I try to do it every day. I don't know. I haven't found where it says daily it must be applied. But I just think to keep our faith active. It's not so much for God's sake. It's not so God doesn't say, oh, you forgot to apply it today. But it's on our side. To keep our faith active in the blood, we need to do it on a consistent basis. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. And so I like to do that. So I want to go to a scripture in Matthew 27. This is before the crucifixion of Jesus. Matthew 27 and verse 22. Read, come on up if you would, as we wind this down here. Matthew 27 and verse 22. This is when the multitude had brought Jesus before Pilate. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. See, Pilate was a politician, and he, rather than do what was right, he did what was politically expedient. But thank God he did, for our sakes, amen. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person." You see to it. He examined Jesus, and if he was being honest, he would have to say, "Look, there's no reason he should be put to death. He's an innocent man. He's an innocent man." And so Pilate washes his hands in front of all of them, signifying, I'm washing my hands of this whole matter. I'm innocent of the blood of this matter. If you want him crucified, then you're going to have to do it, because I'm not going to be a part of it," he's saying. And all the people answered and said, here's what I wanted to get to, "His blood be on us and on our children." Now, I want to say that. See, they were saying that in a term of judgment. In essence, let his death be charged to us and to our children. And you know, in some ways it was. In some ways it was. Because 40 years after this event, Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jews were scattered from their homeland for nearly 2,000 years. So in some ways that happened. But I want to take that statement, that last statement, and I want us to apply it in a positive light. His blood be on me and on my children. And I think we can apply the blood over our lives and over our households. As I said, on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, or however often you need to do it to keep your faith active in it. But apply the blood and say, "His blood, Jesus, your blood be on me, and your blood be on my children." Not in judgment, but in deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say His cleansing blood, His saving blood, His healing blood be on me and on my children. Amen. So three things here. Number one, apply the blood for protection and for healing. Apply the blood of Jesus for protection and for healing. Exodus 12:13, it says, "But the blood on your houses will be a sign for your protection. When I see the blood, when I see the blood." Well, how was God going to see the blood? He was going to see the blood because they what? Applied the blood, right? They took that hyssop branch, and they killed the Passover lamb, drained its blood in the basin, and then they took that hyssop branch and they used it like a paintbrush, and they marked over the top of the door and the sides of the door with that blood. And God, when God passed through and judgment came on Egypt that night, God saw the blood and He passed over everywhere where the blood was applied. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood should be on your houses. The blood on your houses will be a sign for your protection. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing will touch or destroy you when I strike Egypt. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 5:7, he says this, For indeed Christ, our Passover. Do we have that one, Trinity? 1 Corinthians 5:7. For indeed, Christ, last part of that verse says, "For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." So just like that Passover lamb was sacrificed and they applied the blood, in the very same way, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So we apply the blood. Apply the blood over your household for divine protection and for healing. Because that Passover, not only were they divinely protected, but they were supernaturally healed. Why? The Bible says when they came out of Egypt, there were no sick or feeble people among them. Psalm 105, verse 37, there were none feeble among his tribes. If you look at some translations, it's very explicit, no sick or feeble people among them. They received their healing. Hallelujah. And then number two, apply the blood for cleansing. Past, present, and future. Apply the blood for cleansing. Past, present, and future. 1 John 1:7 in the Amplified. It says, if we walk in the light, oops, that's the American Standard. I'll just read you the Amplified. But if we are really, and I would encourage you to look this up later, if we really are living and walking in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt. And now notice this phrase. This is how it's worded in the Amplified. Keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. See, there. Okay, great. Thank you, Trinity. You got it. See, when we apply the blood, it not only cleanses us from past sin, but if we apply the cleansing blood of Jesus, it will act as a preventative and it will keep us cleansed. You guys going to come out? Come on out. Bring them on out now. It'd be great, Amanda. Yeah. It will keep us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I do that on a daily basis. I apply the blood like that on a daily basis for myself and for my children. I apply the blood. I say, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that the blood is a sign for our protection. And I thank you, Lord, that you see the blood. I apply it now by faith and with my words. And many times I'll take communion. I hope you do. You can take communion at home. Many times I'll do it while I'm taking communion. But if I'm not, I just say, Lord, by my faith and with my words, I apply the blood. And I thank you that you see the blood and it's a sign for our protection. And you pass over us. I thank you for divine protection over me and over my household and in the name of all my family members. Praise God. And then I say, Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. I thank you for that cleansing blood. And I apply that cleansing blood over myself and over my family. And I thank you, Lord, that the blood not only cleanses us from sin, but I thank you for the keeping power of the blood. I thank you that it keeps us, from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Praise God. All right. And then thirdly, this, apply the blood to set your household apart for God's purposes. Apply the blood to set your household apart for God's purposes. Hebrews 9:19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. As Mark Hankins says, he's slinging blood everywhere. Get the picture of that. So he spoke the word, and then they sacrificed the lamb, and then he takes that hyssop branch and he starts slinging blood on the book itself, and on all the people. Starts sprinkling all the people with blood. They had blood. They're standing there, and the blood of this lamb splattering over them. Saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission. How are we going to be able to keep God's word? How are we going to be able to follow it and keep it? By the power of the blood. He sprinkled the book. There's blood on the book. Hallelujah. And there's blood on us. Through the power of the blood. Through the power of the blood. Through the power of the fact that we've been made righteous. The blood is, oh, thank God for the blood. If you'll apply it over your life, it will cleanse you of sin. Not only of the sins you've committed, but it will break the power of sin off of your life. The blood of Jesus does that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he says he sprinkled with blood the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. Now in the Old Testament, the vessels of ministry were the bowls and the basins and the cups and the pots and the pans and all of that. Those were the vessels in the Old Testament. But we are in the New Testament now. And we are living vessels.
Amen.
We are the vessels of the ministry. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 4:7. He says, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure. Where? In earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the earthen vessels. But we carry a treasure, folks. In the New Covenant, we carry a treasure. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The power of God resides in us. The glory of God resides in us. We have this treasure. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel. We are, in the New Covenant, we are the vessels.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy, he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So I take the blood of Jesus and I say, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus, the sanctifying blood of Jesus over myself and over every member of my family. And Father, I thank you. I say that every member of my family is, the word sanctified means set apart. Father, I say that every member of my family is set apart to you. And every member of my family will fulfill their divine destiny and their divine purpose because I apply the blood over them. They're vessels of ministry and they're sanctified. They're set apart to you now by the blood. By the blood. Hallelujah. There's power. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power. Power. Wonder working power. Come on, stand up and let's worship Him. In the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Whoo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, like Moses took that hyssop branch and dipped it in the blood of the Lamb and slung it all over the people. Lord, I plead the blood over this congregation today. Lord, I apply may they sense the blood of Jesus covering them, splattering all over them today. Hallelujah. Cleansing them, marking them holy, marking them righteous, marking them set apart to you, marking them as off limits to Satan. Ha ha. I apply the blood, I plead the blood, I sprinkle the blood today. Hallelujah. 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 You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. While we're in an attitude of prayer right now, I want you to ask if you got your hands up in worship, just put them down for a moment. But I want to ask, while heads are bowed and eyes closed, you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm not ready to meet God. I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I've never done that. You don't become a Christian just by osmosis. You don't become a Christian just by sitting in church no more than you become an automobile by sitting in the garage. You have to consciously receive Him. And if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never done that, but today I want to. The Bible makes it very clear. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.